Nielsen ranked number one. Melissa in the Morning, WICC 600.
Dr. James McLean is a colorectal surgeon and chief of colorectal surgery at Norwalk Hospital, joining us this morning. And good morning, Dr. McLean. Thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, Dr. McLean, I'm sure you know just as well as anybody, after the tragic and it seemed sudden death of Chadwick Boseman at 43 years old, colon cancer honestly is on a lot of people's minds this morning. And I wanted to talk a little bit to you, first of all, about this cancer. For anyone who's not familiar with it, have just heard about it in the news headlines, what is it?
Sure. Yeah, this is just another sad reminder that this is not just a disease of old folks. We're seeing increased instances in young patients as well. So colon cancer is essentially just, it's a tumor that develops in the wall of the gastrointestinal tract or the intestines. It usually starts as a benign polyp, and then it develops this ability inability to stop growing and then can advance beyond that.
Okay. Now, I'm reading here that besides types of skin cancer, colon cancer has become the third most common cancer in both men and women across the U.S. But what I've heard time and time again is it's also very preventable. So we look to screening, right? And I think exactly. What's interesting about this is most of the times you think a colonoscopy. That's a very good thing to do. But my understanding, Doc, was that you can't get colonoscopies usually till you're like 50 years old. So like in Chadwick Boseman's situation, he wasn't even close yet. So what would you have suggested for him to do? Like, should people start getting tested at what age?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Traditionally, it's always been 50 if you don't have any of the risk factors like family history or family history of polyps or family history of colon cancer. So again, traditionally it's been 50, although interestingly, the American Cancer Society 2 years ago, because of this increased incidence in cancer in young adults, lowered that age to 45. So they are recommending that it starts at 45. But again, that's still that's one society's recommendation. But again, you're right. And Mr. Boseman, he was younger than 45. So it does sort of make the point that symptoms are important. A lot of times young patients may have some symptoms that they just kind of chalk up to something benign or something not important. But it just brings home the fact that if you do, even if you're young, if you're having any symptoms that are concerning, things like change of bowel habits, rectal bleeding, abdominal pain, unexplained weight loss, you should definitely bring this up with your physician and see if any further workup is indicated.
Now, is that something that would be early on? Like, would you notice consistently, let's just say I'm just looking at your symptoms here. So say you're a relatively healthy guy or gal, I should say, and all of a sudden you feel like you're consistently going through cramping or abdominal pain day after day. Is that an early sign of colon cancer, or is that where you're already kind of full blown? Like Chadwick Boseman, when he was finally diagnosed, and I hate to keep going back to this, but it's the example that I think is fresh in people's mind. He was already at stage 3. So like, would you get these symptoms earlier on, or do you start to get them when you're already sort of deep in the cancer diagnosis?
Well, I mean, you can't generalize, but you're right. It brings up a good point that it's important to look for symptoms, but a lot of times if symptoms have developed, it can certainly be later. A majority of patients who do have colorectal cancer don't have any symptoms, which brings us back to the importance of screening. Again, these cancers start as polyps, and if you do screening with the goal being to remove these polyps, then you can markedly reduce your chances of getting colorectal cancer because those polyps never have a chance to become cancerous. So again, yeah, symptoms can be quite often is a sign that is later, but not necessarily a stage that's uncurable by any means. In general, colorectal cancer, if you catch it early, it's a very curable disease. So a lot of people die from colorectal cancer, but again, it's very preventable and very curable if you catch it early.
And forgive me, Dr. McLean, of course, with the Norwalk Hospital, he's the chief of colorectal surgery, also a surgeon himself. Dr. McLean, forgive me if this sounds silly, but when you say to get screened early on, is that a colonoscopy, or are there other ways of screening? Like, so let's just say, for instance, you know, like my husband's 30. I don't know his family history because he was adopted. But if he wanted to get screened, would that be a colonoscopy? And if so, is 30 too young to get screened?
Well, in general, it probably is early to get screened. Again, if he's having no symptoms at all, there probably is not a role for screening. Colonoscopy is kind of considered the gold standard, but there are other ways to screen. Simply just checking your stool for blood. There's various take-home tests that you can do to check the stool for blood. There's some X-rays that you can do. So there's a variety of different tests, and that's something that you really patients should discuss with their physician to kind of see what the ideal test is. But in general, if no family history. Now, if you do have a family history, then you should start at 40 or 10 years younger than your relative, whichever is sooner. So, for instance, if a patient had a parent who had colorectal cancer at age 45, they should start screening at 35. But again, I mean, screening is not going to catch every single case of cancer. But if you are 30 and you're healthy, then at that point, it's not, you know, routine screening is still not recommended.
And, Doc, not to put you on the spot, but why is colorectal cancer on the rise in younger people? Because you're right. I think there's a common misconception that it was always spotted in adults 50 plus, maybe even older than that. But I have found in recent years that people younger and younger are being diagnosed with colon cancer. Why is that?
Yeah, the bottom line is we don't know. I mean, this was looked at. The NCI, the National Cancer Institute, did a review a couple of years ago, and just to kind of put numbers to it, they concluded that if you're born in 1990 versus 1950, your risk of getting colon cancer is twice as high, and your risk of getting rectal cancer is actually four times as high. So there's obviously something going on. It's interesting that it does kind of parallel the increase in obesity in the general population, but it's absolutely more than that. Because we are seeing a lot of patients in their 30s and 40s who have colorectal cancer who do not have obesity. So it's probably something lifestyle related. I mean, there's a lot of research going on because this is obviously a big topic. But the bottom line is that we just don't know yet.
Because I'm wondering if it's something as simple as diet, like if you have processed foods, because, you know, back in the 50s, everything was more homegrown. There wasn't all this mass producing of food and processing and things like that. I'm wondering if maybe that's a factor in it. Amazing.
Yeah,
from 1950 to 1990, if you compare the two generations, that's a crazy difference. Five times more likely. That's unbelievable.
And they're looking at processed foods is a risk factor. There, you know, people looking at the microbiome, which is sort of the bacterial climate, if you will, in your GI tract. People are looking at antibiotics. I mean, there's a lot of research being done, but we haven't quite identified that factor yet.
Dr. James McLean, I appreciate so much getting your feedback. And ultimately, you're saying if you have a family history of it, to certainly get screened. But again, you said that they just changed the age to start getting colonoscopies. You can start going at 45, you're saying?
45, yes. The American Cancer Society is recommending 45. And that's still, you know, there's still the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, which is the government agency which makes screening recommendations, still saying 50. So insurance companies are still not required to cover it at 45, but some will. So it's certainly something that should be brought up. But at 45, we should definitely start thinking about screening. And again, one thing I do want to mention with the whole COVID-19 situation is please don't delay getting screened or looking into symptoms because of the whole COVID-19 situation. You know, our New Vance hospitals, like most other hospitals, have a lot of precautions in place. And we're still doing these procedures, and they're very safe. So just keep that in mind.
Dr. McLean, thank you so much for coming on this morning and clarifying a lot of this. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We know that colleges started off their in-person schooling last week. And since then, UConn in particular has been in the headlines. We've seen that the cases have gone up. And we're not really surprised. We kind of had an idea that this would happen. But I think that's why a lot of students have opted for virtual learning. But I have to imagine that this is making things a little bit different, especially for those who are graduating this year. It's just a different experience for college students. So to give us some perspective on that, Jake Otten is here. He is a senior at UConn at the Storrs campus. And Jake, thanks for being here this morning. How you doing?
Hey, Melissa, thanks for having me. excited.
I'm so excited you're here, too. So first of all, Jake, just to clarify, you do not live on campus, correct?
No, I do not. I live within walking distance of the school, but yeah, I'm off campus.
Okay, so are your classes in-person, virtual? What does it look like?
Well, it varies. I have a couple that are called distance learning. So those meet online, but they meet at a specific time. And then I have some that are completely online. And those you can do whatever you want. You don't have to log in. But then I also live with roommates that, you know, go with in-person. There's some that are in-person classes, and then but they also have online distance learning. So it's a big hodgepodge. You know, it's a lot. So definitely different.
So, I mean, so you're a senior, Jake, and you're graduating in the spring. Do you feel like the pandemic has kind of put a damper on sort of the end of your college career? It's just so different than I think anyone would expect. And at least for freshmen, sophomores, you know, they're going to have a few more years where they can kind of recover. Like, hopefully there's a vaccine in place by January and hopefully things are more normal by next year. But like, this is your last year. So sort of how are you feeling about everything?
You know, it's a bit of a bummer. You know, you work your butt off up here and you would hope that, you know, as a senior, you get this once in a life. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff at the end of the year. I know that UConn normally has plans. I know the seniors last year didn't get a chance to do it. But, yeah, like you said, I hope there's a vaccine in January and some things can return to normalcy. But, you know, we just have to wait and see.
What were your thoughts on, like, football? Like, UConn was one of the first schools to cancel, like, the football season. And, you know, and UConn is a very big sports school, to put it simply. So, you know, something like football going away, like, do you worry about, you know, like the basketball season? Do you worry about like sort of the sports image at UConn, like not being able to enjoy that? That had to be kind of a blow as well, I would think.
Yes, 100%. I was definitely looking forward to that. So yeah, it'd be a huge bummer if basketball's gone, for sure, because I know they're definitely on the rise. So that would be very sad.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy. I mean, I've been to a couple of those UConn football games, and they're really, really fun. Now, Jake, from your parents' perspective, not to speak for your parents, but I've had a lot of students who are especially freshmen going to school, and the parents are, I'm going to say, pretty upset over the fact that they're spending all this money and their kids are virtual. Now, if the pandemic wasn't going on, would your classes be in person or would you have still had these virtual classes?
No, I would probably be 100% in person. That's kind of the norm. So, Yeah, I mean, my parents are definitely weary of it all. They definitely felt weird sending me up here, living off campus. I had to sign a lease in May, and the school didn't make the official decision until around June. So I'm kind of locked into this house. So, walking on eggshells over there.
Yeah, it's such a weird world. I don't know any other way to put it to you. It's just so bizarre. And I mean, I know I've been out of college now for almost a decade, but I couldn't imagine going back under these circumstances, but at least, you know, there are the options of virtual. Now, with your roommates, you were saying that, like, some of them do go to in-person classes. So do you not really kind of care? You guys still all sort of coexist amongst each other. Or do you kind of avoid them?
We try to keep our distance. I'm across the hall from a kid who was in the nursing program. So he's actually in a clinical right now in Hartford.
Oh, wow.
So there's that, you know, he's visiting hospitals and you just hope that, you know, he's disinfecting the right way. And it's almost better because at least the hospitals will take it serious. Like, I don't know, with kids going to the rec center, with kids going to dining halls, like who knows what's going to happen? Going to disinfect the right way. And yeah, I mean, we try to keep our distance, you know, and wash our hands a lot more than normal. Yeah. Clorox wipes litter all over the house, but, you know, we're going to do our best, you know.
Yeah. Are you worried that if we see too many cases on campus that they shut the school down? Like, are you going to stay up there if they do shut things down and they stay virtual, or are you going to come back home to Southern Connecticut?
For my parents, I would probably stay just to kind of keep them safe. But, yeah, of course, I'm worried. I think, you know, it's definitely a possibility that they would shut the school down. I mean, you know,
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jake, we certainly, we pray for all you college students. I don't know. I think it's what I find interesting is my heart breaks for the college students because it is such a, it's just such a hard time for you guys. But I also look at, you know, like I've said to the governor before, how do you tell a bunch of college students not to party and not to, you know, go and hang out on campus and not to congregate with each other? And, you know, I just think, unfortunately, you guys are kind of between a rock and a hard place. You know, you pay all this money, you want to have a college experience, but you kind of can't in the middle of the pandemic. So praying that things go okay for you. Thank you so much for coming on, giving us some perspective, and please stay safe. Don't talk to anyone.
Thanks, Melissa.
We have heard from a number of the school districts in our area, and it sounds like most kids, if they are doing in-person classes, are going to be heading back to school a week from today. That's right, the day after Labor Day, in-person, hybrid models, and virtual learning will all be back up in session for most of our K-12 public schools in Connecticut. And there are some resources for teachers and parents if they want some free lesson plans and activities online. So joining me now to talk a little bit about this is Fran Mako of AAA. Fran, thanks for coming on the show. How you doing?
It's fine. Thanks for having me. I'm living la vida loca and home here.
Oh, I'm right there with you. I love that. Yeah, I'm on my second week working from home. It's something.
Do you like it?
There are aspects of it that I'm okay with. Others, I find it's a little more complicated to run a station from your basement. So
yes,
it's a little challenging. But
there's a lot of interruptions, so to speak. But on the other hand, you can start dinner at a reasonable hour.
True. I like the way you put that. Yes. Thank you, Fran. Now, let's talk a little bit about these free online programs. First of all, what are these lesson plans?
Okay. Well, there are many in nature. The lessons plans generally focus on traffic safety, but they could be used for health classes, phys ed classes, in some cases math and language, and others have a science bent to them. Wow. We started developing these way back in March and April because we knew that many parents and school districts and teachers were going to try to figure out how to handle COVID in the classroom. Many of these activities and lesson plans, we used to go directly and present to schools. So now that we cannot do that anymore, we converted them to a virtual presentation for use by teachers and parents. And they're broken up into grade levels, K to 4, 5 to 8, 9 to 12. And some of them focus on, for example, for the kindergartners and fourth graders, it's pedestrian safety, bike safety, you know, getting to school safely. A lot of them have videos that we produced. For the older kids, the middle school kids, there's one very, very good language arts and health health education lesson plan called Mike Hart Was Here. Mike Hart Was Here is a book, and it basically talks about a young boy that was fatally injured because he wasn't wearing a bike helmet. And it's the book, the point of view is through the boy's sister. We do other things on the history of the safety patrol for older kids, high school kids. It's a little bit more complicated. We have a program that focuses on marijuana use and teen driving. It talks about the impaired driving and how marijuana use, affects your perception, you know, behind the wheel. There's some other modules on distracted driving, alcohol, you know, using alcohol behind the wheel, and understanding gas prices. So there's a variety of things that people can use and download with worksheets and activity sheets for free.
That's awesome. And my understanding is these were kind of designed to actually meet the National Common Core standards. That's fantastic.
Yes, very, very important. They do. They do meet the National Common Core standards in health, language arts, and math. Science, sometimes social studies, many cases the multidisciplinary.
Wow.
So I have a website. It's a little complicated. I can give you the website. It's https://, you have to put that in, /, I made a tiny URL, tinyurl.com/AAA distance learning. Now, okay. if people don't get it, just email me directly.
Okay. As I say, we can also put it on our Facebook, our Twitter page. We could share that with folks.
Okay,
no problem.
That would be helpful.
We have parents who are listening right now, because teachers, I'm sure, are very familiar with these kinds of resources. If they've got kids who are going to be doing the distance learning from home, you said it's a free program. So they just simply go to this website. If their kids do the activities, like, is that something that parents then submit to the teachers to say, hey, my kids did this, they completed this, and, like, do they get school credit?
Well, they could download the worksheets. There's answer keys, there's video links, there's everything like that. You can download everything. The child could complete the worksheet, and you have the ability to send it back to the teacher. Now, it's up to the teacher if the teacher assigns it, and they want to give credit to the student. That's up to the teacher. But again, a lot of parents are teaching kids at home. There's a lot of remote learning going on at home, and sometimes you need to fill time. This is some way to do that to keep the kids busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, definitely. Fran, I think this is a great resource. And again, if you do have your pen and paper in front of you, the website is https://tinyurl. That's tinyurl.com/AAA distance learning. So I will share that link with everybody on social media as well, and I'll put it on our podcast. And okay, Fran, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Very good.